As I mentioned earlier, I would turn, and if you would turn with me to the second letter of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 5. And for our text this morning, reading especially the words of verse 17. 2 Corinthians 5 at verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. With thanks to the young people and the things that we saved from earlier, we have been reminded that there is not much that stays new. Food goes off, toys break, books get dusty, cars depreciate and bend, we wrinkle, and the new year very quickly gets old. We get used to it. When things age, we replace them with the same thing perhaps, or a new and improved version. Or many, as things get old, move on, lose interest and move on to the next new thing. But what if there is something that, being new, never gets old? What if, in fact, being new, it only gets newer, complete opposite to what we are familiar with, the things of this life? And this is what we have. There is such a thing, that when it begins new, it only leads to more newness. It's a clumsy way, but how else can we put it? New life by faith in Christ Jesus. And this is what Paul has in mind in this verse, in this passage, and he indicates through what he says here as the general rule guiding all his thinking, all that he did. Let us then consider this new creation, and something at least of the effects and the impact, the significance of it. So it's simply two things: a new creation in Christ. What does that mean? And second, the result of that, a new view of life. Something really new. Really new. A new creation in Christ. Now, from what the Bible says, it seems that until we are fully with our Lord in glory, we will never come quite precisely to understanding what this means. But to some degree, we must be able to, because this is to be found in the Bible. We are told that in Christ, if you are in Christ, whoever you are in Christ, you are a new creation. Only in Christ, but if you are in Him, you are a new creation. Do we fully understand what it means? Perhaps not. But these are words that the Apostle uses to mark how completely different the Christian life is in Christ. It's not merely a renewal or a refurbishment of what we are. Only to call it a new creation gets anywhere near it. A new creation. We read, I think God has blessed us by setting us on this path, by bringing these readings together today. We read of this first creation, and all was so very good, and it would not have fallen apart except for the introduction of sin by us. A creation. Now Paul talks about a new creation. He is talking about something that is different, very different from what men are without Christ in them, or without them being in Christ. Think about what we've been talking about just about a week ago. Many or most of you will have received a gift or a few. In the 8 days since then, those gifts are already old. They're at least 8 days old. Marks and Spencer's were introducing their summer range on Thursday, apparently, in at least one of the shops. The winter, the spring stuff, it's old already. We think it's over the top, of course, but it does reinforce the point. Time moves on, and in that time, there is constant aging. Deterioration is the norm. It's the default setting. I've mentioned him a few times recently, a favorite writer of mine, Chesterton. He points out that conservation is not just leaving things as they are. He says, if you want a white post to stay a white post, you have to keep painting it white. That's conserving it. But it needs constant attention. You know that with your garden. You're going to have to go out there sometime soon to tidy it up because it deteriorates. This world, this creation as we know it, is always dying. Let's remember where that dying comes from. It's sin. It's because man sinned that all creation, Paul tells us in Romans 8, all creation groans until the adoption, that is, the redemption of the body. And we are part of that creation as well. We are dying in every way. We did from the moment that man first disobeyed God. We're dying in every way, that is, until we are joined to Jesus, until we are found in Christ. There is nothing that ever gets newer as time goes by. Sometimes people would suggest that there is, but it's only by constant replacement and renewal. That latest gadget, it's not the new old one. It hasn't suddenly become new. It is a different one. Notice that. It is different. Maybe that's homespun kind of thinking, but it's right, isn't it? It's just putting our minds to a bit of exercise and looking at what's around us. Aiming to look at our world honestly. Face up to the way that things really are. And in a way, it should be glaringly obvious. A few simple questions, and we find the answer that the new year is already old. We read that that's not the way that things started. We have to answer, how are things this way? The sin of man. That includes you and me, and our death and the decay towards that death. Didn't Paul cry out as he was talking about his sin, the great dilemmas of his sin and the desires of his heart in Romans 7? He cried out, who will deliver me from this body of death? He was trapped. We are trapped. Always on the road to death. And so with everything and everyone around you fading away, corrupting, gathering dust, wrinkling, dying, there would be a great deal of reason, be perfectly understandable, to wonder if there's any value in plugging away every day, if not to despair altogether, if that's what is left. People don't do that. There is a desire for overcoming that. There is that pursuit of what's new in all sorts of ways. But if it was not for that, where would we be? Well, we don't despair. That's the setting for this verse of Paul. Paul is assaulted by death and suffering himself in his own person. If you read back into chapter 4 and all around. But he says that is not all there is to life. All his suffering and light affliction, he's got his eyes set on something bigger and much better, new, that is truly new, and he is on that road. He has a hope. Peter calls it a living hope. A hope that shines through. Paul is not basing his hopes on a new year. It's not based on resolutions that depend on iron will of a man who's only broken and decaying in any case. Paul's hope is based on this, a new creation. He is a new creation. It's begun. It is certain. And the completion of it is certain. Of course, there's still a whole lot of the old stuff hanging on, isn't there? It's like occasionally, I think in the Highlands, we used to see it in Africa as well, you go along and you'd see sheep along the roadside and they'd have bits of their you could see their under fleece was showing because their long winter fleece had been starting to get tugged away, but it was hanging off and it was flying around in the wind. It looks absolutely ridiculous. It looks very scruffy. It looks just not the way a sheep should be. That's what we're like sometimes. Bits of our lives in chaos still. But there underneath is this new creation. New life, new born. Isn't that what Jesus said to Nicodemus? You must be born from above. New birth. Born again, we call it. The beginning of a new life. That new life, which, as Peter puts it in his second letter, is to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Without Christ, we decay. Is New Year the best hope that man has? Why should we settle for anything less than this? This new creation in Christ. Anything less than being on the path that draws ever closer to the fullness of this renewal. Revelation 21:5, Behold, I make all things new, says the Lord on the throne. If you are in Christ, by faith in Him, a new creation, something very, very different. Not just a bit of a lick of paint. Not just to tidy up, something completely new. And around this, Paul says, to this new creature, all things have become new. And I think this is him saying, your perspective on everything is transformed because you are transformed. You're a different being in Christ. So you see things differently, or you should. It's to be exercised. You have new eyes. Use them with that newness. Yes, there is a lot to be understood. As Jesus healed a blind man, and the blind man wasn't quite sure what he could see. Things were fuzzy. And it's as though he had to be educated to learn and to understand what it was that he saw around him. As a new creation, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Develop, be exercised in that new being. Everything to you will then be new. It'll be different, it'll be enhanced. You will see things with a new vitality. Your insight will be improved as time goes on. This new view of life because you are a new creation. The very fact that you may be able to see, and I trust you can, the fact that you can see that this world is decaying, that you recognize that for what it is, and that you recognize that man is made, you are made for more than just having to keep replacing dead things. The very fact that you may be able to see that points to a new view. That you're not blind to the realities of life. But finding a new view that comes with the work of grace and God's Spirit within. Maybe for some there is still more to go. But rejoice that you may be able to see that much. See it for what it is. The seeing. A few days ago I was out walking. And there in the lane, there was a dog in front of me on a lead, and the dog had stopped halfway across the path, and it was sniffing away along some bushes. The poor owner was on the end of one of these extending leads, and he was well up the path, and he was obviously wanting the dog to come, but the dog wouldn't. He had a mind of his own. The dog was intent on something it had seen. The owner didn't see it. He walked past. I didn't see anything. The dog saw it. The dog knew what was there. Yes, it sensed, one way or another, that there was something there of interest, because it's a different creature. And I think there's something to be found there. We're talking about being a new creation, a new creature, something very different from what we once were. And that means that things, we will see things that we didn't see before. From now on, Paul said back in verse 16, we regard no one according to the flesh. It's your regard. It's the way you look at things. You don't look at other people according to the flesh. The great and the mighty. I read just the other day, I was quite surprised. The richest man in the world is a Mexican tycoon. Can't remember what he's supposedly worth. Does that matter? He's a man. As a new creation, we need to look at such people in a different way. We need to look at the beggar on the street in London in the cold of winter in a different way from what we once did. It will not be completely true immediately, but there is a new birth, a new beginning that we ought to expect will grow, will develop. It's not all going to come immediately, but it is something that can be cultivated. It wasn't even in us in seed form until we enter into life in Christ. But it can be cultivated, developed. You know, perhaps as you go through school, there are some things that start to take more and more of an interest, and you start to focus on them. You cultivate, you develop along a particular line. God works in patterns. That's so in many parts of life. It should be so in this as well. That growing in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Seeing things. Seeing them for what they are. This belongs with the life of faith. Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I was reading a novel just the other day. And a very simple one. And there was a religion, an ancient religion, used in that story. And there was someone who was expounding this to a visitor. And he said, so-and-so was educated to think of these things as just mystery and superstition. Myths and superstition. In spite of all the evidence. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. Not seen by the ordinary man. Not seen by the natural, the dying man. But the man of faith does come to see. He sees there is ample evidence, more than enough, for all the evidence around. See it. The rest of the world says they can't see it. They therefore will not believe. The man of faith can. Through faith. Someone put it this way. The world hears with its eyes. To hear a lot of messages, but it's only what it can see. So it is today, by and large. It's like Thomas, the disciple, who insisted he would not believe that Jesus had risen from the cross, from the grave, from the cross, unless he could see him for himself and touch his wounds. You can say all you like, the world will not believe. We need to see, but see with the eyes of faith. Faith in the truth, the word of truth that the Lord tells us. And I think if we go back to these few verses, we see the best test of this new insight of faith is in regard to Christ himself. From now on in verse 16, we regard no one according to the flesh, no one. And then he focuses on Christ. We have known Christ according to the flesh. There was a day when Paul looked on Christ just according to the flesh. That's why he persecuted the church of Christ. But he says, things are new. Now we know him thus no longer. How do you look on Christ? How does the world look on Christ? That's the answer as to where you are. The world puts its limits on him. Says he could not be born of a virgin. He could not die and rise again. That's what the world would say. But the believer trusts in his testimony. That's what he calls us to. We've been reading in John's Gospel. That's what that's about. The believer trusts in the testimony of the Father, the testimony of the Bible, the testimony of history, the testimony of the Word of his works, and especially that work of the cross and his rising again. As Paul says, 1 Corinthians 15, this happened according to the Scriptures, according to what Jesus himself said. The believer trusts in this as ample evidence, more than enough, of things not seen. And that's because by the work of the Spirit, you've been given new faculties. You're made a new creature, new creation, able thereby to perceive spiritual realities. Seeing through his eyes. You're in Christ. You're seeing through his eyes. Being in Christ. You know, sometimes you might be in a place, maybe from here, and I could say to somebody at the back, I could say, well, can you see such and such across the road? And you can't, because you're in a different place. In Christ, you're in a different place. You can see through, as it were, a new window on life. And this view of life, we must believe that because of what it is, will only get clearer, not dimmer, not duller. It's as though you start your life with the worst possible glasses prescription to be able to see. And each year you go back and you get it checked and it's improving all the time until you need glasses no longer and your eyesight keeps improving. You can see miles and miles and you can see like a hawk and an eagle and so on. With exercise. We are in a world of decay. A world which does very often place their hope in a new year. Let's not be deceived. The great hope, the one hope we have of true newness, is to be found in Christ. You can and you should take great courage from this. That's why Paul wrote it, to reestablish us, to set us firmly once more, our thinking on this new ground in which we stand if we are in Christ. But Psalm 40, lifting us out of a miry pit, a bog, setting us on a rock, our salvation in Christ. I know that there will be things often enough when things don't look so new. It's that straggly effect that I've talked about. You struggle with that. You struggle when there are other Christians who don't seem to be able to see what you see. Be like that. But perhaps we're like airports which are constantly being refurbished, and to do that there's a mess first. There's the clearing out of the old, and there is still a lot of the old stuff. Put off the old man, put on the new. That is the process of our lives before the new can emerge bright and shiny. The Lord does his work on his creation, and sometimes it may get messier first, dismantling the old stuff of our own years and the generations that we've come from. Peter said, you've been redeemed, not just from yourself, but from the traditions handed down from the fathers into a new life. What matters is not what you see naturally, but what you see beyond it. And if there is any struggle that you have as you're in yourself or looking on in others, do what Paul does. Look beyond. He wrote a number of letters to people who were, we could say, just about to shatter the church, people who were just more trouble than they were worth, most people would say. And what does he call them? He says, dearly beloved, because they're in Christ. He looks, sees them with a new sight. You see, your toy that's broken since last Saturday. In the old days, somebody would look on that and say, well, I can fix that. They can see the potential. That's what God's done. He sees you. He says, I'm looking on you and I'm going to make something fully new. And I'm beginning it now, if you will trust in Christ. Paul here is talking about ridiculous confusion that people get into. And also he does that in Romans chapter 3, in verse 4. There's terrible confusion about when people are talking about righteousness and faith and so on. And in the middle of that he says, let God be true, but every man a liar. Friends, this is his word. See things this way. Let every man be a liar. See God truly. Let that be your starting point. And see all things differently. That's the big change that faith brings about, that God does become the center of your world. He becomes that star that sheds light on everything. He becomes the guiding light through life. He is the great light. The new creation is the great city where there is no need of sun by day or moon by night to rule the day or the night we rent. He is the rule. He is the light. He is the understanding. So friends, as we close this morning, be in Christ. Come to Him. Walk in Him if you are in Him. You have something so, so much greater than any hopes in a new year. Don't settle for anything less than this new life in Christ. But let's exercise in it. Let's exercise one another. Practice a new way of seeing things, not after the flesh, but according to the Spirit. There's a trick that an artist has. And an artist depends on their eyes. It's just a pencil. Pencil is great just for sketching things. And what you do, you have a certain impression on things. And I look right down to the back and I see you the size that you are. But if I put a pencil beside you, you're just that big. And then the artist puts it down. You wonder how an artist can get things down on the paper and how it looks so real. That's what they're doing. Seeing things as they really are. A new way of seeing things. And it's illuminating. You do that and you see, I didn't see that before. But it's making God your measure. It is seeing Him in Christ primarily. That you can, there is a trick to it. Not just holding up a pencil, but keeping God there and saying, okay, how does this look in God's eyes? Just say that. Make it your exercise. In every situation you face, hold Him up. Compare this thing with Him. He is your measure. Keep Him to hand. So let's be engaged in this new creation, this new life that begins. Pray earnestly as well. If you do not yet have it, see that you need it. You need to be this different creation. And you'll see so much more. And you'll see an eternal life in Christ with God. Pray earnestly that that's what you may become by God's mercy and grace. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have become new. May God bless his word to us now and in days that he might spare us for. Let us pray together.